I have to say KPTZ Port Townsend, 91.9. Then I turn to Chrissy and say, let's make a pitch for some money. How can people donate to this project? It takes money to teach young ladies like Helena to build boats and to enjoy being on the water and everything else that you do with them.
Yeah. It costs us about $10,000 a year as an organization to put this program on. And most of that comes from donations. You know, for us, like everyone, we're in a really challenging time, and that She Tells, She Tells is our primary fundraiser for the Girls Boat Project. And we would expect to raise most of that this coming weekend. So, we appreciate so much the folks who have decided to donate their ticket costs. That really helps a lot. And it's, whatever people can do. If you want to go to our website, which is nwmaritime.org, there's a couple of ways to give money there. So there's a nwmaritime.org/SheTells, which features another really cool project folks may not know about, but that we've worked with Phil and KPTZ on, is there's a link to a whole backlog of podcasts and recordings from Toss Salads from past years of She Tells and guests and really cool stories and are things you might have missed or want to hear again. There's a link there. There's also a way to donate there, or any nwmaritime.org page. You can donate directly to the organization, and that will really help us because, like so many places, we're being affected by a lot of what's happening and having to close down events and potentially programs and, you know, ramping into spring, which is usually our busiest time of the year. So there's a lot of uncertainty. Our whole community needs our support. We're one of many.
Not only has the Girls Boat Project had to forego at least some people, I think, will be generous with you, but some of your financial support from She Tells, She Tells, but the Maritime Center had to forego, as I understand it, its major fundraiser in Seattle.
Yeah, it was a big fundraiser that we were putting on that was supporting one of our new additions or organizations, which is Salish Sea Expeditions, and their main fundraiser had to be canceled last week. So it's been a challenge, and our development crew especially put so much work into getting all of these events together, as well as all of us here for She Tells, She Tells. So we're having to respond to that and be nimble and frugal with all of the income that we have, and knowing that membership and all sorts of things people can do for us as an organization will really help.
And the website again?
nwmaritime.org. O-R-G.
So folks who have listened to Joyce, soon to listen to Allison, I'd say express your appreciation. Who listened to Helena, my goodness, we want her to continue to build boats, and it takes some money to do that. I usually do these pitches for the radio station. I may never have done a pitch such as this. I can get pretty wound up in these things for somebody else, but for the Girls Boat Project and the Maritime Center, I can do that. Now, the surprise that I brought. Here's the story. This is a women's event. Oops, what am I doing here? Well, for the time being, I'm the host of the show, so here I am. But there was a choir in Seattle, around Seattle, called St. Elmo's Choir. And they were a group of seven women who sang sea songs. And I don't think they ever made, if I may say it this way, much of a splash, but they did make a cassette. And a friend of mine named Karen Berge, if you're listening, Karen, I did tell you I was doing this, so maybe you're listening, loaned me the cassette a long time ago, not a year ago, but way too long ago, and I finally digitized it. So I'm going to play a cut now, and I'm going to play a cut maybe later from the CD, so you can hear St. Elmo's Choir. And then when we're all said and done, I will give you the CD so that you can put it into the sound system. You have a sound system in your boat shop? You're going to need one then.
Kind of-ish,
okay.
Yeah.
Let's listen to a very short piece of music. In the meantime, I want to have y'all do some moving around. I want Allison to swap places with Joyce, and I want Kelly to swap places with Helena. But while we're doing that, this is going to be a shanty, actually, to make it possible for you to move these chairs vigorously. It's called Sally Racket.
Little Sally Racket,
haul 'em away.
She shipped aboard a packet,
haul 'em away.
And she never did regret it,
haul 'em away.
To me, holly, hi-oh,
haul 'em away.
Hi, little beginner.
Haul him away.
Prefers it to a dinner.
Haul him away.
To me, holly, hi-yo.
Haul him away.
A little Nancy Riddle.
Haul him away.
She broke her brand new fiddle.
Haul him away.
Got a hole right up the middle.
Haul him away.
To me, holly, hi-yo.
Haul him away.
A little Kitty Carson.
Haul him away.
She slept with the parson.
Haul him away.
She got a little bosun.
Haul him away.
To me, holly, hi-yo.
Haul him away.
A little Nancy Taylor.
Haul him away.
Said she'd never touch a sailor.
Haul him away.
Till she was harpooned by a whaler.
Haul him away.
To me, holly, hi-yo.
Haul him away.
A little Nancy Duckett.
Haul him away.
She washes in a bucket.
Haul him away.
She's a whore, but she don't look it.
Haul him away.
To me, holly, hi-yo.
Haul him away.
A little Sally Rocket.
Haul him away.
She pawned my brand new jacket.
Haul him away.
And then she sold the ticket.
Haul him away.
To me, holly, hi-yo.
Haul him away.
Well, I guess I shouldn't have turned on the microphones quite so quickly, should I, Joyce? You gave me a nasty look there.
No, I don't know when we're on the air.
When you can hear the monitors, the speakers, then we are on the air with our microphones. Anyway, that was recorded in 1991 on cassette, probably only on cassette. As you could hear, the audio quality a little bit weak, probably because it's been sitting on a cassette for 30 years. By golly, 30 years it has been. So, but anyway, just this all women's, I mean, I've been looking for such a thing for the longest time. And what I mentioned to Karen, who is the author of The Most Fabulous Hugs You'll Ever Get, she had this record. I didn't even know. I know some of the women in the group, but I didn't know the group existed. Anyway, Toss Salad continues with more Girls Boat Project She Tells, Sea Tales, which is happening here and here only, but also on KPTZ, because this will be broadcast again. I don't quite know when. Well, it will be available on the website, Program Archive, probably just as soon as we're out of here. And, you know, actually, I feel a little bit frustrated because, or just sad, because this is what I'm so used to doing, having interesting, fabulous people here with me, and my company is going to be myself until this virus subsides. And, you know, I don't mean to say that I don't find myself interesting, but it ain't going to be the same, guys. Allison, hi.
Yes. Hi.
I talk too much, don't I?
You're doing great.
You are from Southeast Alaska.
I grew up in Edmonds, Washington, but my family is from Southeast Alaska, from Prince of Wales Island. And so I've always spent my summers migrating back to Prince of Wales for the summer.
Which is where you go fishing.
Yes.
You know, I like to make eye contact, but those earrings are just about pretty fabulous. But I will pay attention to your eyes and not your earrings as much as I can. The family has, as I read in the short article from National Fisherman.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That's all that I could find. But at least it didn't tell me you were deceased. That was sort of helpful. Fished a couple of seiners, and you've probably fished at least one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my family has a long tradition of fishing commercially. My grandpa had four brothers, and together they built a wooden seiner back in the early 40s. My grandparents owned a troller. They raised their six kids, while fishing salmon in the summers on their troller, and then got back into seining. And my dad took over the Chirikoff, and he's fished that for, gosh, over 35 years now.
Sounds like a wooden boat.
It's a steel boat. Oh, okay. It's a 58-foot Marco.
Okay, very well.
And,
Seattle boat, built mm-hmm. boat. Okay, and when you're fishing with them, what are your duties?
Well, over the course of 15 seasons that I fished with him, I got to learn the full range of jobs on the boat. I started cooking for the crew when I was in high school, and I started working as a full-time crew member when I was in college, and I... cooked and worked on deck, and I got experience piling gear and eventually running the deck and being the one responsible for bringing the fishing gear aboard. And I also spent several seasons driving the power skiff.
Oh, yeah, same skiff. You were in the same skiff.
Mm-hmm, which my story will highlight okay. today.
All right.
But yeah, I did that for 15 seasons. And this last summer was actually the first summer that I did not go fishing, since about a year and a half ago I got a job working on tugboats.
And you graduated from the Seattle Maritime Academy.
I did.
As an engineer.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, okay, I did tell you that I work on boats. Uh-huh. I worked on boats. I think I'm pretty much retired. Wiring is what I did.
Okay.
And generally, if I had a rewire, which is generally what I did, I would start in the engine room knowing that at some point I could get out of the engine room and get upstairs where I could look out the windows.
Mm-hmm.
And you have opted to be in the engine room. Why do you reckon?
Well, you know, you bring up a very good point, and that is one of the challenges of being in the engine room, is especially on these short winter days, is not seeing the light of day. But this was born out of an idea I had several years ago, and that was just that I felt like there was a lot more I had to learn. And I had been up on deck for a long time, and I had learned a lot about maneuvering boats and about operating the deck equipment, and I wanted to spend some time really just learning about all the mysterious things that happen in the engine room. So I found this program at Seattle Maritime and studied engineering for a year. And as part of that program, I had to get an internship, and so that internship turned into the job that I have today. And I, about a year ago now, applied for my Coast Guard license and received my designated duty engineer license, and have been sailing as a chief engineer, which has been quite an interesting new endeavor.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
One other thing, you talked about the two Saners that go back into your family's mm-hmm. early years, but you're part Native American, maybe all Native American. Mm-hmm. So do you know anything about the family fishing before those Saners?
I just know that man, my family has been on Prince of Wales for a very long time,
uh-huh.
and being on the water and subsistence fishing has been a way of life for just as long.
Do they pass on stories from maybe the days of canoes to you?
Yeah, well, actually, you know, one of the stories that came to my mind when I started thinking about sharing at She Tells, Sea Tells was my grandma's side of the family. Her father, when I believe he was about 7 years old, was among a group of about 100 Tsimshians who traveled from coastal British Columbia and traveled by canoe and settled Metlakatla on Annette Island. And then he moved to Ketchikan and raised his family in Ketchikan and started fishing commercially. But you know, it's always been that, you know, my family has been on the water, and that's been very
has anybody integral. Written your family history?
You know, I think there's a lot of probably stories and random writings floating around, and
you please read your story for us now.
Okay.
I thought he was going to say, because you have a lot of time on tugboats now, that you could start writing those down.
No, that's certainly true, and I, you know, there are a lot of stories.
Oh, wait, Kelly has to introduce you. She's the MC. I forgot.
Ladies and gentlemen, our final performer for the evening. I am very excited to hear Allison Demmert's story.
Well, thank you very much. And thank you for having me here, too. And I also wanted to say thank you to Joyce for her wonderful story. And it was just so told so elegantly. And I just really appreciate getting to hear from you. So, yeah, when I thought about sharing for the event, there was a whole lifetime of stories that came to mind, and what I'm going to share really just comes down to kind of a few defining moments that have contributed to the person that I am today and my love of being on the water. The elements of excitement and uncertainty on the water have always drawn me in. I was recalling recently a time when I was about the age of 7 and hanging out on my dad's boat, the Chirikoff, during a fishing day. We were off the coast of Noise Island, where beautiful ocean swells reach over 12 feet even during the summer months. And this was a gorgeous, sunny August day. At that time, we had a chair in the wheelhouse that was fixed in a position facing directly out the starboard side door, a door that, on particularly warm days such as this, was tied open to let fresh air flow down the companionway and through the galley made stuffy by the continuous roil of the diesel stove. With my dad and his crew on the back deck to bring in the gear, and the boat turned parallel to the swell, I sat in that chair facing the door, watching the water turn to sky, turn back to water, back to sky, as the boat heeled slowly back and forth, at times so dramatically that I felt near vertical to the open door below. It occurred to me in that moment that, should I fail to hang on, I might just tumble right out of my seat, across the wheelhouse, and directly out that door and into the water below me. And I was thrilled. Gripping the edges of my seat, I sat grinning and giggling to myself, totally engrossed in the moment, this excitement of straddling the line between life and sure death. I don't recall whether or not it occurred to me then that I might opt to remove myself from such a precarious situation, but I smile now at my inclination to hang on tight and enjoy the ride. Little did I know that a seed was growing. Perhaps it should come as no surprise that 25 years later, I found myself along the same coastline on a fishing day in August, in swells of 12 feet and sudden hurricane-force winds, alone in a 19-foot power skiff, no one but me and a Cat 3208 to tow our fishing net back to the Chirikoff, and ultimately back to safety. With breaking waves crashing over my stern and foamy white water streaming down every inner side of my skiff, two bilge pumps ran continuously, and I maintained the hope that I wasn't sinking, with seawater streaming down my neck to saturate the clothing beneath my rain gear. All of my senses were simultaneously brought into a single moment in time, not without adrenaline and maniacal laughter, in this ultimate test of preparedness and self-trust. Quickly scanning my surroundings through raindrops that pierced my face like needles, and analyzing the height and direction of every wave, I picked my moment and turned hard over into the swell. Pointed now towards the Chirikoff as she disappeared and reappeared beyond the swells, one hand gripping the steering wheel, the other clutching the throttle, I rode up and over each wave, careful to slow down through the biggest ones, lest I dip the rails and take on more water than my bilge pumps could keep up with. As we towed toward one another, my crew, clad in layers of rain gear, lined up along the rail, ready to catch my lines. Approaching the boat and centering my focus on getting close enough for a successful line toss while keeping enough distance to avoid a collision, I gathered my coiled heaving line with my right hand, continuing to clutch the throttle with my left, holding the steering wheel steady with my knee. I aimed towards my crew and thrust my line with intent. In an instant, it took to the wind, sailing off in the opposite direction. I rushed to bring my line back in, my skiff drifting quickly towards the Chirikoff. As we slammed rails, steel on steel, I handed my line to the crew and cut loose from the net, narrowly dodging the steel davit swung out over the side. First turtle down. Now, free to maneuver and needing to escape the confines of the net surrounding me, I approached the stern end of the Chirikoff as it rode the swell 12 feet up and 12 feet down, the tow line coming off the stern rail, opening and closing a window through which I must pass. Giving myself ample room, I got my skiff into position, pointed towards that oscillating portal to freedom, rising and falling with the waves. Through squinted eyes, I studied the coming swells, waiting for the biggest ones to pass, and trying to remember to breathe, tasting the seawater still streaming down my face. At the helm of the Chirikoff, my dad worked to hold his position while I prepared to make my move. A small set of waves approached, and I braced myself. With one deep breath, I held on, and I gunned it. I shot below the tow line through my perfectly timed window, ducking as I did, for if my calculations had been off, I might have been clotheslined, or even worse. Now, the Chirikov clutched out and getting quickly blown away from our net still laid out in the water, I hooked my skiff up to their side and began towing hard. Straddling the steering column so as to keep my eyes on both the Chirikov behind me and the swells breaking on my bow, I throttled up and down to keep from blasting straight through the waves as I fought to keep the boat positioned to the net. On deck, my crew worked quickly to organize lines and start hauling the gear aboard before we blew so far out of position that it might become impossible to retrieve it at all. Now, with the power block running full speed and the net falling to the back deck, swinging from side to side, my crew holding on tight, I laughed as a lunatic and wondered how I ended up here. Continuing to breathe, I pressed onward, knowing we were approaching the finish line, yet fully aware of what could still go wrong and aching with concern for my crew. While they stole glances in my direction, fearing for my own safety, the end of the net rushed out of the water, up and over the power block, and fell with a splat on a mass of corks and webs strewn about the deck. We had managed to prevail. With great relief and an upwelling sense of joy in the accomplishment, I cut loose the side tow line and approached the stern of the Chirikov, awaiting my pull-up line and the completion of our mission. My dad, still standing on the back deck, turned my direction, and we locked knowing eyes. With a mutual shrug and a little grin, we both knew we were calling it a day.
And that was Allison Demert. The tugboat that you're working on, what is her name?
I've mostly been on a boat recently called the Arctic Titan.
And where might I see the Arctic Titan? Out here sometime, going by?
Oh, we definitely pass by Port Townsend. We depart from Seattle with a barge that we deliver up to Whittier, Alaska. And we offload and reload and turn around and come right back.
Seattle to Whittier, Whittier to Seattle,
mm-hmm.
with Allison in the engine room.
That's right.
Well, if I see that, again, the Titan, what is it?
Arctic Titan.
If I see the Arctic Titan when I'm out sailing or out rowing, I will wave, and maybe you will be allowed above deck for just about that moment and
hopefully.
That time. And thank you for the story.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Do you miss fishing?
Oh, I miss it every day.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Yeah.
I want to thank all of you for being here. Let's see here, remembering Joyce Gustafson, Chrissy McLean, Allison Demert, and the ever, ever effective artistic director of the of She Tells Sea Tales, Kelly Watson, who I feel like I should say condolences, but this has been a great time.
I do just want to say we had five other readers put an incredible amount of work into their stories, and so at some point we will all get to hear their work and I know that they will also be incredible tales.
Well, are these folks mostly from around here or easily brought here?
One woman is from Bellingham, one's from Bainbridge Island, and everybody else is local.
Okay, well, what I'm going to suggest is someday, but when this is passed, I will get in touch with you and we can bring not only the rest, but why don't we bring the same group back again? We toss salad, you know, I can do whatever I want, and that's what I'm going to want to do, so... Thanks, Kelly. Thank you, Helena. Thank you, Helena Taylor-Lund, for coming, too. Kelly's raising her hand. She's actually an educator, and she knows you're supposed to raise your hand if you want to speak, and you may now speak.
Thank you. I just want to say it's a really intense time in our community, and I just want to take a moment to say that the Northwest Maritime Center in so many ways has stepped up for our community, and I'm hoping that as we need to support many organizations in town right now, and in particular our vulnerable populations. But what many listeners might not know is that the program where I spend half of my day now is housed at the Northwest Maritime Center and is supported by them. It's a public school program. So I just really wanted to thank the Maritime Center for hosting She Tells Sea Tales for the last 7 years and for all the good work that they do in the community.
Indeed. Thank you for that. Nice to meet you, Allison. Thank you
nice
very much for being
well.
Here. Always a pleasure, Chrissy. And thanks to Joyce Gustafson, a whole bunch to you as well. And I look forward to seeing you all here and there and everywhere. Where do you live, Allison?
I actually live in Port Townsend now.
All right. So Kelly has found people easy for us all to track down.